talked about it afterwards, that we're all wearing the same logo, but I always use the phrase competitive, not combative, and that line gets crossed every now and again. But I also think that's a byproduct of what we're trying to build, the mentality. So it's something that I think that it happens. As a coach, you frown on it, but at the same time, it's something that you understand it might be the price of doing business.
Second time we've seen Gilkey involved in something like that. Pattern?
That's probably an accurate interpretation. There's some guys that are maybe more apt to get involved with it just by the nature of their how they play. Yeah, that was one that's especially, I think there might have been, because Gilkey's hair, I think there might have been a hair pull or two at the end. I think that's why it took a while to get us to get it broken up.
What kind of player is Gilkey, you think?
He's had a good camp for us. He'll be right in the mix and competing for that guard job. We talk about competition at all positions, and that's a good example. That'll be in there with Greco, McQuiston, some of those names fighting for those inside jobs.
You're dealing with more difficult transitions to make an offensive line, especially at a small school like he played.
It is. I think he's handled it well, but that is tough for a guy that hasn't gone against that level of competition. But he's been solid. The coaches have been very pleased with his progress so far.
So is McQuiston primarily a guard at this point?
I see McQuiston as a swing. So he's shown that he can play. I don't know if he could play center, but I think we'd be comfortable at any other position. But I don't want to just kind of pigeonhole him as, hey, he's a backup and we're just going to use him as a swing guy. He's capable of starting, and he'll compete for a starting job. But he's also shown the versatility that he can play some other spots.
On the offensive line, with the two first-rounders and two second-rounders available to you there, and, you know, you're trying to sort through that the guard thing with one other guy, I mean, you could make a case that this should migrate into an elite offensive line. Can it be, and what would it have to happen for?
Well, we're hopeful. I mean, I think it's a good combination of guys, different styles. I think they'll perform well in the system. I think the system will help them. I've very fortunate to have been to hire an Andy Moeller and a George De Leon. I think two of the better guys, well-respected offensive line coaches in the business. And I feel like with George that we actually have a second lead coach. So I know they split up and do a lot of work separately. You know, centers and guards and tackles alone. So I feel that group's in good hands.
Mike, could you assess Justin Gilbert's progress
at this point? He's on the learning curve. I think he's kind of put himself in some situations where he's testing his ability to make up. I think a lot of corners will I don't want to say play scared, but they'll stay on top and they get beat underneath a lot. I think the elite guys can let a guy get slightly past them, but know with their makeup speed and their length that they can still make a play on the ball. So I think that's what this time is for him, is kind of testing his limits and getting used to the speed of the NFL game and NFL receivers.
You're kind of a cornerback guy, too. I mean, wherever you've been, two press corners have been important at the start. Why is that, and why do you feel that they're cornerstones?
Well, the one rule that's truly in favor of the defense is the ability to make contact within the first 5 yards. And I think any time that you're giving the offense what we call free access into your secondary, I think you're doing them a favor. So it's always been our mindset that if we can get a chance to roll up on our guy and impede his release, and a lot of the passing attacks we go against are rhythmic or based on timing, that we feel that it's in our advantage anytime we can be disruptive that way.
How much can Aaron Glenn teach those guys?
Aaron's done a tremendous job so far, he and Bobby Babich. I've noticed in the short time that Aaron's been here, just that our guy, that their technique, their footwork especially, that's critical for those guys to have, that their footwork just becomes second nature to them, that they don't have to think about it. And they've already shown significant progress in that so far.
From the quarterback thing, how much of an advantage does it give your defense if you have corners who can match up one-on-one?
It's a huge advantage. You just look at the math of it. If you can allocate two corners to two receivers as opposed to having a roll a guy over the top and waste an extra DB on top of a receiver, I think just from a math standpoint, I mean, it's football. When you break it down, a lot of stuff is based on math. You're trying to get the maximum number of defenders at the point of attack. And when you can just trade, it's just you're just trading one for one. That's a positive thing.
When you have these, a couple of your veteran receivers who haven't really been able to do much in camp so far, and the uncertainty with Josh, how difficult has that made your preparations for what this receiver group might look like, even come camp and then September?
Yeah, I think that does put us a little bit behind with the uncertainty of what that lineup's going to look like. But we wanted to be prudent with Miles and Earl's taking some quality reps. Burleson's just working his way back in. We're hopeful that when we get to training camp, you know, we get Travis Benjamin back, we get Charles Johnson, we get a chance to see what he can do. That hopefully we can settle on a lineup quickly and develop some chemistry with the quarterbacks.
Is there anything you can say about Gordon today?
No, there's no additional update there.
In terms of not being.
No, he just has a minor ding. He won't go tomorrow either.
So him standing around has nothing to do with
nothing. No.
Is it fair to say that you led the charge to pursue a cornerback in the first round?
No, I don't want to say led the charge. I think Ray and I are very much on the same page as far as what we're looking for. He understands the defense conceptually. So when what we did as a staff is provided for the scouting department a generic list of player rankings, like quarterback being the most important position on offense, left tackle more than likely the second, defensively an elite corner number one, an elite pass rusher number two, and ranked the positions, just no names attached, just generic if we were just picking by position only. And I thought that was a worthwhile exercise, and I think that helped him understand what we were trying to get done. And so he knew it was an important thing, and that when we talk about players on the board, where they get sequenced, that will have an effect on the sequence, where a quarterback might get pushed up a little higher, a corner might get pushed up a little higher versus maybe a guard or a tight end, just due to the value of the position. Yeah, I think all those Hawkins for sure. But I think some of those other guys. You saw Shaw make some plays today. Willie Snead was doing well till he had a minor injury that's kept him out. So I think that's a good young group, and I think that's the plus side of having those guys out, that it really gives us a chance to hopefully find a diamond in the rough with some of those other guys.
What specifically do you like about Hawkins?
Short area quickness, the ability to get in and out of breaks. There was a play today where the defense was called. The coverage was 51 double, which meant double him. And he still got open. So that's when Kyle was got after O'Neal a little bit, said, you're going to have to put three on him. But he's a guy that can win in the slot. And I think it's important that if you have a guy that can win at tight end, and we think Jordan can be that guy, and when you can win in the slot, that causes some issues defensively when you have to now allocate maybe two defenders to the slot receiver as opposed to one. It goes back to the math problem. You can only allocate so much. And when you've seen passing attacks over, and certainly something that Brian's used to, but you see passing attacks over the course of football, a lot of times the third receiver, in some people's opinion, is more important than the other outside receiver.
I don't know if it's too early to ask this, but is there any conversation going on with Shanahan about incorporating both quarterbacks in the regular season?
No, it's too early. That conversation will occur, but it's too early at this point.
Is it kind of special to have your dad here watching practice
today? It is. We had he's been watching some of the practice tapes, so we had a Italian conversation this morning before practice. He, I, and Coach O'Neal. But it's great to have him here. I mean, it's just another guy that can, not necessarily who's that immersed in the scheme, but I always say it's nice to get the 30,000 foot view sometimes, instead of when you're deep in it, where he can make some comments. And a lot of times I tell him it's sometimes how you say it, how you package it. Usually the content's accurate, but sometimes my defenses go up when he delivers the message the way he delivers it.
This is a question about whether Hoyer, being as intense as he is out there sometimes today, is putting a lot of pressure on himself. Do you feel that you need to get the message to him, hey, look, relax as best you can, don't put too much pressure on yourself, even though this is a good chance?
No, I don't think you really want to mess with a guy in that way unless you see it becoming an issue where a guy's just pushing too hard. But if that's what, if that voice inside of his head is what drives him, and that how he wants to compete and push himself, and that works for him, I think we'll leave him alone.
I just saw one play where, he was really pissed that there was an incompletion that he thought should have been a completion, and that kind of led to the question.
Yeah, I mean you'll see most quarterbacks when they miss a throw, don't walk away from it feeling real good about themselves.
You make your dad sound like the original blunt force trauma.
I learned from the best.
What about Gilbert and Hayden? What do you see about the two of them together? Hayden teaching.
He is. I think Joe's done a really nice job of taking not just Justin, but I think that whole room of corners under his wing. That's the room that I think we changed the most dramatic changes as far from a depth standpoint, the ability to add Trufant, Gilbert, Desir, Aaron Berry, and supplement Joe that way, and he's been great with those guys.
When you send Justin Gilbert off tomorrow, right now he's not with the first team. What will you tell him? This is what you need to do in the next month to come back.
Every coach is meeting between now, and they've already started, but between now and the end of the week, they're going to get with their guys and meet with them and talk about exactly that. So it's every player on the roster. Here's where you are. Here's what you need to work on. Here's going to be the plan for you in training camp and hopefully down the road.
Can you tell us specifically about Justin?
I think it'll be more technical stuff. That I think there's maybe some concepts that he's a little bit more familiar with, maybe because he's played them before. But some of the things that Coach Hafley and the rest of that crew think he needs to work on specifically.
And what was your reaction to
my first question was I didn't really even realize that he played baseball. I think it was back in high school, and I didn't even get a chance to talk to him about it. I don't know. It was just when I heard it, somebody texted me about it, and I didn't think it was that big a deal because I know the kids die hard football. So it was a bit of a surprise, though.
NFL teams don't waste draft picks.
No.
There's another guy that was pretty die.
Them, yeah,
pretty
true.
Diehard football who found a way to play two sports.
Yeah, but I think to me, if he had been a standout college baseball player and was doing both, but if you talk to him that and I know probably somebody's waiting next to me. Well, we would talk to you if you let us. But I'll answer for him that he's football through and through.
Did he take any step that you noticed from yesterday to today, Manziel?
I'd have to look at the tape because a lot of times I'm not concentrating on the even right. though I'm standing behind the offense, I'm usually looking at what's going on the other side from a mechanic standpoint. So there were some things that flashed, and I'll get a better feel once I get in and get a chance to watch a tape.
Coach, I heard you say this on the radio.
Couple more questions, please.
About, you were talking about Josh Gordon, and you have noticed maybe that there are times where he doesn't hustle back to the huddle or whatever the case may be. Have you noticed things like that about him? Do you need him to step it up when he's healthy?
No, that's something I think he's made progress with, but I think it wasn't just him, and I think that's one thing that we stressed to our guys when we came in is that we want to finish, and that's a big part of making sure whether it's a receiver catching a ball, or the defensive line when the ball is thrown, turning and running, or the offensive line when a ball is thrown, covering down the field, and we just kind of have our own, each position kind of has its own little definition of what finish is, and that's something that he's improved on, but just like some other guys that there's some room for more improvement.
Got time for one last question over here, Coach Zach.
Mike Hawkins didn't make it his first two or three tries here. Does that shine through? Do you appreciate, the guys like that, I guess, appreciate when they do and they get in a role where they get a chance to shine like you might have here?
Yeah, and it's a credit to his perseverance, his mental toughness. I think there are some guys that would have packed it in and said, hey, maybe this isn't for me. But he was confident in himself, and he knew that if the circumstances were right, that he would get a chance to shine, and that's he's been. If you had to rate our players from in the spring, he'd be right near the top.